Crownless again shall be the queen. If this song stops me from getting a knighthood for my services to podcasting, then I'm coming for you, Thomas. I'll be raging. This is Crownless.
All the elements of what I love about Nightwish. Do you think you'll listen to some more Nightwish now?
Oh yeah, I love it.
I don't know what I'm listening to, but I like it.
Come on guys, don't let me down. Decades Tour 2, I want to see this one on the set list.
The podcast and the pendulum.
The podcast and the pendulum.
Podcast and the pendulum.
The podcast and the pendulum.
Hello everyone, how are you? Thank you for joining me again for the podcast and the pendulum. It's great to talk to you. I seem to be giving weather updates in all of these videos because that's one of the only things that's exciting in my life at the moment, lockdown problems. But it's very gloomy, it's very rainy, and it's stopping me from going outside. So instead of wallowing in my misery, I thought I would come on here and record the next episode because we are talking about a song that always gets me hyped up and gets me excited. It's one of Nightwish's most fiery, fast songs. It's Crownless from Wishmaster. Now this song is very underrated, so underrated in fact that I struggled to find live versions. I barely found any quotes about it, even the lyrics. There wasn't that much discussion on what they meant. There's not that much to dig into, but I'm determined. We're going through every single Nightwish song, so Crownless will get its moment. And a wonderful listener out there on Instagram, I believe your name is, I'm going to check actually while I talk because I don't want to get it wrong, but you asked me specifically to do an episode on Crownless, and it is a song that I really love, so it's my pleasure to do this episode. So instead of cutting this after like 10 minutes, we're also going to be digging into Wishmaster itself and looking at the parent album and that whole era. So the person that asked me to do it, Crownless Ace of Spades. You know, I thought that was it, but I was thinking, is there a Motorhead reference in the name? I can't remember. So Crownless Ace of Spades, this is for you. You asked for it. Careful what you wish for, mate, because you got it. Let's kick off with a few of the Crownless specific interview quotes and such that I found. So the first one I do want to explain, I couldn't find any concrete interview where Thomas said this, but I did see this quote bandied around quite a bit, particularly around Crownless and about Thomas talking about Crownless. So I'll read it out, but do have that caveat that I'm not 100% sure where this came from. But I did find it on a website called Valley of Wishes, and he said about this song, "Arrogant, egotistic people make me sick. Those people who have been given a crown but can't carry it properly. Nothing is everlasting and the fall can be very sudden. I think we all should keep that in mind and be proud of the things we have achieved in a positive way." In a couple of other interviews, Thomas was talking about the power metal influence and how it was refined on Wishmaster and introduced on Oceanborn. So in an interview with the Metal Observer, who I have to say were one of my absolute favorite websites when I was first discovering metal, they have really great in-depth interviews and reviews. So I'm not 100% sure if they're still going actually, but if they are, please do go and have a read. They have really great interviews, and this was one that took place I think around the time Wishmaster came out. So they said to Thomas, "You could have easily dwelled in the success of Oceanborn by simply doing Oceanborn 2. Did you get any negative feedback about the refinement of your style on Wishmaster?" And Thomas responded, "No, actually not like that. I've been very surprised, and the biggest complaint we received was that we had not changed our style enough. They more or less said that we have done another Oceanborn, but I still think that it's pretty much different." Metal Observer then said, "You've had quite a bit of criticism for Wunderlust and that it sounded too close to Oceanborn." But in the same breath, they praised Crownless, and Thomas responded, "Yes, some people just wanted to find something they could criticize, and I guess that's okay." That's an interesting take on it, because for me, Maybe it's just because I'm so close to Nightwish and their music, but I feel like Wishmaster is a bit of a venture away from Oceanborn, especially in the years that have followed. They've had this really gradual progression. So I mean, Century Child, which introduced those orchestrals, became Once, which was even more cinematic, and then Dark Passion Play, which took the cinematic style to the fore, which really came to the front on Imaginarium. So in that way, I feel like Oceanborn was a logical move forward in Wishmaster. I definitely wouldn't say that Wishmaster was some kind of remake or rehash of the Oceanborn sound. I think it definitely forged forward. I also found this little quote with Carpe Nocturne Radio, and it was an interview with Tuomas again. And they asked him, would you agree that your music tries in most cases to create a positive feeling? And Tuomas said, yes, in some songs. For example, Dead Boy's Poem is definitely not a positive song. It is very sad. But Crownless or Wonderless try to create a very positive feeling because the lyrics are about positive things. That is something I feel about power metal in general. And as such, it comes through really well on songs like Crownless and Wonderlust. It feels really fantastical, otherworldly, it's fast, it's exciting, and whatever the lyrics are about, that music in itself and the guitarists that you hear in Crownless do feel really motivational. Great music for running. Power metal is wonderful music for running. It really gets you hyped up, and it's really great on the live scene as well. So now seems like a great time for me to tell you guys, I want to put Crownless on my dream Nightwish set list. Yes, sticking with cringy music. I really love this song. From my first listen of Wishmaster, this was one that really stood out to me. I think it's got a very strong chorus. Tara, my sister is called Tara, everyone. I'm surprised it's taken me 30-something episodes to make that mistake. Tara sounds gorgeous. She sounds just soaring and stunning and really powerful and really controlled. The lyrics are just enough, I feel. You know, they're not too deep, but they're interesting enough. They have a lot of great terminology. And I feel like this contains a lot of imagery that we don't see that much from Nightwish anymore. It feels, as I said, as I will say in my discussion with a friend a little bit later on in the episode, it feels a little bit almost cliche, and I don't necessarily mean that in a critical way. I think that Nightwish quite often give us these really deep songs, and even on Wishmaster you've got Two for Tragedy, Dead Boy's Poem, which have these really, really heartbreaking lyrics, and Tuomas really does take you into his world. So it's nice to have that breather and have something, dare I say, a little bit more lyrically generic. And that's not to say that the lyrics are terrible. We're going to go into them in a second, and like I said, there's a lot of metaphors I really enjoy. It's just nice to have something that doesn't take too much thought power. If you want to dig into it, you absolutely can, and you can enjoy it. But if you just want to enjoy a good power metal song, then you can. And that's exactly what I did. It took me a while to really dig into the lyrics of Crownless when I first heard Wishmaster, but it really did stand out to me as one of the most intense instant moments on the album, and therefore I would love them to play it live with Floor, with Tarja, with whoever. I just want to see it live. Venturing back to Wishmaster, I really love finding out facts that are kind of hidden in plain sight. And despite really loving Wishmaster, I would consider it one of my favourite Nightwish albums. I had never realised that there was no music video to any song on this album. Which is really interesting because, of course, Oceanborn did have Sleeping Sun. And I think Sleeping Sun was the only video, actually. But then Over the Hills and Far Away, which followed shortly after and only had, it was only an EP, even that had a music video. And I never really thought about it, but I was watching an interview with Tarja and Tuomas. They were talking about their South American tour, and they asked if there was going to be a music video for this album, and they said no. I believed it was something to do with funding, maybe? Which makes sense, I guess. Wishmaster always felt a little bit more refined to me. I imagine they put a lot more money into it. Again, that's just my opinion. That's just the way it feels. It might not be true at all. But yeah, that was a really interesting fact for me to come across, and something I never realized before. The Kinslayer and Deep Silent Complete were still released as singles, but they just didn't have music videos. Although I think the Kinslayer did have a live music video. I have struggled to find the official one on YouTube, but I think that might have been eclipsed, of course, by From Wishes to Eternity, which followed shortly after Wishmaster. So if you did want some visual Nightwish feasting, it was only a matter of time to wait before that that live release would come out. Wishmaster gets quite a bit of flack, actually, that I've seen online for saying it is like Oceanborn 2, like just not really doing anything new. I mentioned it in an earlier interview with Thomas, and I've also seen a couple of people say that. And a lot of them don't necessarily say it as a intended criticism. I think a lot of them say it's better, it's more refined, it's just not treading any real new ground. Whereas I would probably disagree. I do really feel like Wishmaster is its own entity. And as I said earlier, it's a progression in Nightwish's career. If we think about the songs on Oceanborn, yes, there are some that hinted at it, but I wouldn't say Wishmaster is trying to redo what the band did on Oceanborn. I think Stargazers, maybe even the Riddler, and Passion in the Opera, maybe they kind of hinted at the band moving towards this sound, but I really don't think that it's fair to say that Wishmaster is a rehash of the ideas on Oceanborn. It's definitely got that fantastical feel that was carried over from Angels Fall First and from Oceanborn on quite a few songs. Wishmaster as a title track indeed is very fantastical, but it also has, I feel, a lot more of Thomas's personal feelings coming to the fore. If we look at a song like Two for Tragedy, that literally rips my heart out whenever I listen to that song. And also Dead Boy's Poem. The band themselves have said, I think on a poll, it was voted as the ultimate Nightwish song. And that idea of the dead boy, which is intrinsically linked with Thomas as a songwriter, it comes up time and time again. It's a real iconic moment in the band's career. And to say that only came out because they were rehashing Oceanborn, it feels really unfair. I would love to know what you think, though. Do you think it's maybe a little bit too close to Oceanborn? I really stand by my thinking. I feel like it is a progression. There are links to the past, but there are also links to the future. Thomas, talking more personally, would really inform Century Child, which followed Wishmaster. So yeah, I feel like it fits nicely in the lineage of Nightwish albums. But maybe you disagree, and that's absolutely fine, because someone who does probably disagree with me is Thomas himself. So in the Once Upon a Nightwish book, Thomas was talking about Wishmaster, and it said, "Thomas remained unimpressed. Of all of our albums, Wishmaster is sort of an in-between," he says. "Unlike Oceanborn, it offers nothing new. It's a bit better produced and the songs are as good as Oceanborn. But at the end of the day, it's just a sequel for Oceanborn that sounds more massive." Though several of the songs on Wishmaster dealt with personal issues, Thomas told interviews that the album's imagery of little match girls, dragon slayers, and phoenix birds was a tribute to the world of fantasy. So there you go. Even if you do disagree with me, you're in good company, because Thomas is in agreement with that as well. I think that he kind of says, maybe it's we're both coming at the same issue from different angles, because I agree with what he said. It's a sequel to Oceanborn that sounds more massive, but to me that is progression. It's not a rehash. I don't know. He's the songwriter. I probably shouldn't argue with him, really. It's his material. Jeez, you can die on that hill, Thomas. Anyway, talking about live shows, we know Nightwish these days are quite the live spectacle, with explosions and video screens. And oh, can we just talk about the video screens on the Decades Tour? Like, that was super high definition. The images were incredible. My partner at the time came with me and he was really blown away by the quality of the visuals. But I'm going off on a tangent here. But really, the Nightwish that we know, if we look at shows like Vehicle of Spirit, even the Decades Tour, which had a little bit less of it, the shows are just so much more enormous. And this seemed to kick off around the Wishmaster era. So again, Once Upon a Nightwish talks about the first time the band used pyros and explosions. And it says, at the Kitty Ice Hall concert, Nightwish used bombs and pyros for the first time in their career. Lighting technician Tommy Stolt had introduced the band to pyrotechnician Marco Alto of the company Pyroman, who still designs and executes all their special effects, fire, water, and smoke. The idea to add these new elements came from Thomas, a big fan of fireworks all his life. Very suitable as well that this album contains the track Fantasmic, which we spoke about in a previous episode, and Fantasmic in Disneyland is this huge spectacle. So maybe Thomas took a little bit of a leaning from the world of Disney there as well. I think we can agree though, the live show and the explosions are now a part of what we love about Nightwish and seeing them live. It really is something special. It's the greatest show on earth, to coin their own song title. And I think the reason they were able to move to this more expensive, shall we say, live setup during the Wishmaster tour was the success of the album. So Wishmaster was the band's first number one album in the official Finnish charts, even though the singles didn't reach number one. Now, this is kind of in antithesis to Oceanborn, whose singles did reach number one. So Sacrament of Wilderness, Walking in the Air, both reached number one. Sleeping Sun reached number two. But the album Oceanborn didn't reach number one on the Finnish charts. It came in at fifth place. Looking at the chart section as well, it also did quite well in Germany, charting at 21. And even though the single didn't make it to number one, Deep Silent Complete still managed to reach number three. I've mentioned it a few times. This blows me away and makes me want to move to Finland, because, I mean, I'm not going to be one of those people that completely discredits all chart music, because I love a lot of pop music, and I think we've got some really great modern artists and the commercial scene. But it does kind of upset me that a lot of the UK charts are the same kind of music. It seems that they don't really respect variety. And to see Nightwish as a single on the charts, I mean, I'm still really loving seeing them on the album charts in the UK. It still kind of blows me away. But to see a single in like our top five or even top 10 or even believe top 40, that would be pretty impressive. So yeah, it seems that the band's success at the time and the reputation that was surrounding them as they went from strength to strength really did allow them to go a little bit further on their live shows. So cast your minds back to the last series. It was the last episode, Creek Mary's Blood, and I played Creek Mary's Blood for one of my friends, Kiki. He knew of Nightwish, he knew a few songs, but he hadn't heard that one, and I knew he would really like it, and he did resonate with it. He found it quite powerful. But I wanted to throw a bit of a curveball as well. So when we recorded that first reaction, we also recorded another first reaction to this song, Crownless. So just to give a little bit of context, Kiki, like I said, is a casual Nightwish fan. He knows a few songs, but he was introduced to Nightwish through the song While Your Lips Are Still Red. And I think it's fair to say that's kind of his go-to Nightwish song, which always fascinated me the more I thought about it, because that song obviously has Marco on lead vocals, and it's very slow, it's a ballad. I wondered if he was aware of the full spectrum of the Nightwish sound, so I picked out Crownless as one of their faster, more up-tempo, definitely one of their strongest power metal moments, and played him that as well. And I'd also like to give a shout out and thank you to Past Simon, who did this, as I mentioned at the top of the episode. Don't have that much to dig into with this song, so all of the content is appreciated. Thank you to Past Me for having the foresight to record this. So let's see what he thought when he listened to Crownless.
Hi everyone. Hopefully you remember my friend Kiki from a few episodes ago. We have just listened to Crownless, and it's the first time you've heard that one. Is that right, Kiki?
Yeah, it's my first time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And have you ever heard these kind of Nightwish songs where it's a lot more faster, more heavy, more power metal?
Yeah, I remember like I listened to a few songs like this, but not particularly this one.
This one. Okay. So what did you think?
Wow. It's the thing I like about this, like, it's really powerful, and like also I think really what happened to most of Nightwish songs I know is that I love their lyrics. It's very lyrical, very like it open to a lot of interpretation, I think.
Yes, definitely. I think the songwriter uses a lot of metaphors and stuff. And this one, when I was looking through the lyrics, I agree. And actually, just in looking through all Nightwish's songs, this one is quite unique because, without wanting to disrespect the lyrics, it's a little bit more cliche. Like, they use a lot of power metal tropes where it's very much about being crownless and the king falling and stuff. And it feels almost like a fantasy kind of film. Whereas especially their later stuff is a lot more personal, I think. But yeah, what do you prefer? Do you prefer something a little bit more imaginative, or do you like something a bit more personal?
Oh, I think I like both. I think like I can't pick. I think like all of them has like certain meaning. So like imaginative, yeah, this is it helps you to like it give you a different perspective. It do. It's interesting to look at, but also personal, make you feel things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think that they do both of that quite a lot on their albums. They mix it up quite well. So yeah, any further comments on Crownless?
I'm still trying to think about what it means because I didn't recognize until you said that there's like a lot of like metal cliche. So that bring things to like it give me different ideas about I still trying to understand what it means, but like it yeah I don't know, but this is really interesting things to think about when you put it that way. Like I didn't realize that this is kind of cliche metal.
And that's fine. I think some people really like that from Nightwish, like they love to listen back to the older albums because they are a little bit more I think they really started to push the boundaries a little bit with the later albums. Like we listened to Creek Mary's Blood earlier, didn't we? And that one is it's a lot more ambitious, and you wouldn't necessarily hear that, where this is a little bit closer to their peers. Like a lot of music within power metal kind of has these kind of tropes and stuff. So yeah, well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
No, I thank you. I do really enjoy it. Thank you for showing that to me.
Despite what I said earlier about Crownless's lyrics, it does have a nice message, and I do like the story it tells. So as the title hints, Crownless has a lot of references to royalty. I believe this is a lot more historic than our modern day royals. I think Crownless is all about power, and it's a song about power struggles. Although we do get this metaphor of kings and queens and castles that puts it in this fantastical world and fits so well on an album like Wishmaster, I feel like the lyrics can be read in various different ways. As I said, it's power. So we have power politically, prime ministers, presidents, and we also have power in personal relationships. So how we struggle with partners and with friendships to maybe maintain or give up that power. So it can be read in numerous different ways, but I also really like the way that this story is told in a cycle. So we start and it's almost like someone is planning to bring down the royals and bring down that power that they have. Crownless again shall be the queen, and a little bit later, crownless again shall be the king. It's like they are trying to usurp them, and it seems maybe that they get their way as the chorus finally comes in after two short verses, and that is, mine is the earth and the sword in the stone, mine is the throne for the idol. I kind of read this in two different ways. So firstly, it could be that they get it. So they own everything, you know? They usurp the king or queen and they have the power that they wanted. They finally achieved it. But you could also read it in an entitlement kind of way. And even if they haven't got it, they might feel like they deserve it. Mine is the earth and the sword in the stone. It should belong to me. I want it. I deserve it. I will get it. So there's different avenues that I think you could take with that lyric. But I really love the little twist to the tale at the end of the chorus. One fleeting moment and it is all gone. Crownless again will I fall. Now that is interesting because it, if we go with that first reasoning, so they got everything they wanted, it only took one fleeting moment and it's all gone. And that's something we see quite a lot. People can really, really try and climb up that ladder to get as much power as possible, but you can so quickly lose it. You know, it's like a game of snakes and ladders. Just one thing can take it away from you. But also it's quite a fruitless task. If you're wanting to always be the most powerful, you always have people beneath you kind of clambering up and trying to bring you down. It's a phrase you hear a lot. It's lonely at the top. And I think that there's truth to that. We kind of think that people who have everything as those people who are in positions like royalty and such, but actually once you are at the top there's only one way to fall, and so it can be a lonely place. And like the song says, one fleeting moment, one thing can completely ruin it. I mean, maybe not so much for the royals, they're pretty set in where they are, but at least in other positions of power. My favorite set of these lyrics is the part where the tempo slows a little bit, and it's the lyric, roaming on razor sharp castles, ruling all but myself. So that for me is a sense of awareness. It's showing how painful it is to constantly be searching and trying to keep and maintain power. Razor sharp castles, that's such a good metaphor. It's basically saying, you know, what we see as these beautiful buildings, these palaces, are actually razor sharp because you're constantly fighting to get in or fighting to protect what you have, what you've achieved. I really like that. That's my favorite line, I think. But I also like a little bit later, there's even more of a sense of self-awareness and almost a coming to the light kind of in the lyrics. One fragrant rose worth 10 times what I am, a cripple begging a coin braver than I ever was. It's very simple compared to how Thomas will go into it in future songs, but it seems like a recognition of nature and of other people. It's about realizing that power isn't everything. It's about understanding our place within the world, the beauty of the things around us, opening our eyes to what we do have rather than the things that we don't and we want to strive for. It's a really nice ending. But there is yet another twist to this cyclical tale, because once again, we go back into that chorus with the lyric, chasten the being, become what I once was, and then mine is the earth. And so it's like they almost have that realization that the search for power is not worth it, but then they go back into their old cycles. And that's exactly what people do. And it's not always a criticism, because I think as people we do fall into old cycles. As a very wise lady said, old loves die hard, old lies die harder. Just like habits, we are so used to a way of being and thinking that a certain life is what we want that we can struggle to kind of step away from it. So I think it's very interesting that at the end we go back into that chorus. I'm sure if Thomas wanted to, he could have changed the lyrics up a little bit to show that they've seen the light and they no longer want to be aspiring for power. But he didn't do that. And I think that that's a brave and an interesting move. It makes the song more interesting for me. And one more lyric that I want to pick out before we go into a few of the references. Reflection from me, devil dressed in white. What a beautiful way of saying like a sheep and a wolf in sheep's clothing. Almost got it the wrong way around. I really like that because it's, again, it's in that part where you're recognizing that maybe the search for power had become a bit of a devil inside you, a bit of an evil. But also, these things that we want often come with beautiful surroundings. So it might look like the most perfect and wonderful thing, but actually we have just glorified it in that way. And actually what we want can be quite detrimental to other people or ourselves. So I really like that. Devil Dressed in White and Razor Sharp Castles. They're my picks for my favorite lyrics from this song. It's a lot of really gorgeous metaphors. And as I said, some references too, which we'll look at now. One reference that links back to the Bible, which we haven't mentioned in a while, is the lyric, iron sharpens iron, and that's in Proverbs 27. So consulting Christianity.com, which seems, let's be honest, like the best place to get your information on Bible quotes, they said, this is an interesting and perhaps convicting illustration of both friendship and accountability. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In Old Testament times, one iron blade was used to sharpen another blade until both became more effective tools. This visual aid of a common implement of work or war provides a practical model for many human relationships. So if we look back at that lyric in the context of Crownless, iron sharpens iron, a truth that once was. Perhaps it could even say that the protagonist or the person that we're hearing from used to have a positive relationship with the person that they're trying to usurp or dethrone. That would be quite interesting and yet another curveball in this song's lyrics. But also there is an article, a very academic article, I will say, that I found, which argues in quite some detail that iron sharpens iron is actually a Bible quote that should be taken as a negative image. So as Christianity.com said, it's a way of refining your relationships and making each other better. This article, which was written by Ronald L. Guys, actually says the alternative, and he says that it's saying people kind of beat each other down, and the use of the word sharp within the Bible suggests a more negative reading, because phrases like sharp eyes or sharp tongue, they show an intent to do violence. That's a quote from his article on JSTOR called Iron Sharpens Iron as a Negative Image, Challenging the Common Interpretation of Proverbs. So if there's any philosophy buffs out there, I'm sure that will be something quite interesting for you to look into. The other reference is probably one that nobody missed, especially if you are a Disney fan. Sword in the Stone, mine is the earth and the sword in the stone. It's a little bit of a tease for what would come later on Fantasmic, that Disney tribute at the end of the record. But on this, the lyric, it seems to be quite straightforward. So for anyone that doesn't know, I mean, I haven't watched many films. I've said this before, I've watched about 5 films, it feels like. I've not watched Sword in the Stone, and I didn't think about this early enough to get my wonderful Disney advisor, Amy Wirtz, to give me a comment on this. So Amy, if you're listening, I hope I'm doing you proud in getting this all right. But I have found from my reading and watching YouTube videos that the Sword in the Stone is about the son of a king, and he's the only one that can remove the sword from the stone, despite a lot of nobles and other people trying. And of course, the reason they want to remove the sword from the stone is because the person that does is announced the King of England. The rightful King of England, the successor to his father, is this guy called Arthur, and he's the only one that can remove the sword from the stone. Sorry, spoiler alert, that's what happens at the end. But despite a lot of people trying to do it before him, there also seems to be a message in there about wisdom, kindness being more important than strength. So stronger men than Arthur couldn't pull out the sword from the stone because they were not meant to be king, but he could, and he was a very wise and patient and understanding person. So that's goes back to my idea earlier about entitlement in the idea of crownless. Mine is the earth and the sword in the stone. They really feel like it belongs to them and that it's only them that can take it. But the problem with power and fights for power is that there's quite a few people who believe that it's only them that should take it and that the sword in the stone can only be possibly removed by them. There's a definite arrogance to it, and it links nicely to that reference of the sword in the stone. Now, at the start of the series, you'll remember I mentioned my new favorite podcast. It's called Raise Your Podcast, and it's hosted by my friend Dan and Ian, and I really enjoy it. They've thrown out a few episodes recently that I really enjoyed. It's helped me see Within Temptation in a new light, and oh yeah, I should mention it is all about Within Temptation. So I asked Dan, just as a quick reminder to everyone listening, to talk a little bit about Raise Your Podcast and why you guys might like it.
Hello, I'm Daniel Connemer, one of the hosts of Raise Your Podcast, the Within Temptation fan podcast made by the fans for the fans. In each episode, my friend and co-host Ian Casey and I dive into the vast back catalogue of Within Temptation's music, discussing everything from favourite lyrics to the fashion choices made in the music videos, as well as sharing our own personal thoughts on the songs and interpretations from fans from across the globe. The idea for Raise Your Podcast was born from the episode of The Podcast and the Pendulum that I appeared on, speaking about Nightwish's latest album, Human Nature. When Ian heard I was going to be on the podcast, he immediately jumped with the idea of us doing something similar with Within Temptation. After all, Within Temptation is the reason Ian and I became friends almost a decade ago, and is still the number one subject we speak about when we get together. So why not make a podcast out of it? You can find us on Spotify under Raise Your Podcast, on Twitter at Podcast Raise, or on Instagram by searching Raise Your Podcast.
I do hope you guys will take the time to have a listen. I really enjoy Raise Your Podcast. I really love Within Temptation, and I'm sure a lot of you guys do too. So if you like what you hear here, I'm sure you will enjoy Raise Your Podcast. It's one of my favourites. I get very excited when a new episode comes out. But that's it for today. I hope that you have enjoyed going back to the times of Wishmaster back in 2000. 20 years! That has blown my mind. I'm still one of them people that thinks that the year 2000 was only a few years ago, even though I was only 9 at the time. But yeah, it's a long time ago when the word coronavirus meant nothing and the idea of us being in quarantine just felt so alien, but here we are, right? I really hope that you've enjoyed it. If you are looking for something to do and you haven't already, and you're a fan of Oceanborn, then please do take part in the Oceanborn rate. You can find the template on Instagram. I will share it in my stories, but you don't need the template. Just send me your rating of every song on Oceanborn. Rate every song out of 10. So if you like them all, like you think they're all perfect songs, you can give them all 10 out of 10 if you want to, but nobody's done that so far. It's nice to have a bit of variety in the scores. It keeps it very interesting. And what I'm going to do at the end of this season is work out the averages of all the songs, and we will crown a winner of the song that got the highest average. As of recording this episode, we've got quite a few votes already in, and there was initially a front runner, but that is very, very, very close to being overtaken, being crownless, if you will, if I can make a cheesy pun. So please do get your votes in, especially if they're controversial. I mean, you can really mess this up for us all. But no, whatever you guys feel, please send them in. And please be honest, I am not going to jump down your throat if you score a song 1 out of 10. We're not about that on the podcast and the Pendulum. We understand not everyone loves everything about Nightwish. So yeah, let me know your scores. It will be really great to see them. But even if you just want to have a chat, if you just want to say hello, I got the loveliest message the other day from a really nice guy that messaged me to say he just got into the world of podcasts and he's listened to all of the episodes of the podcast and the Pendulum. So if you're out there listening, thank you so much. Honestly, that message really did brighten my day. But it doesn't have to just be praising me and the podcast, if you just want to talk to me about what you think about Nightwish, your favorite songs, I love to hear your dream set list. So as you heard at the start of the episode, I did put Crownless in my dream set list. Then you can message me. There's numerous ways now. It used to only be two, but now there's loads, so I really have to concentrate. So you can email me at thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com. Okay. Twitter, @podcastpendulum. I don't update that as much, I'm going to be honest. I'm more of a visual guy. So Instagram, @podcastpendulum. I'm always on there. But if you message me on any, I've got, you know, the push notifications, so I see it straight away and I can get back to you. I'm also on Facebook, search for The Podcast and The Pendulum, or facebook.com/podcastpendulum. If you just search Podcast Pendulum in any social media, if I'm there, it will come up. If I don't have an account on somewhere and you want me to, then send me a request and I'll set one up. Honestly, I'm here for you guys. We'll do what you want, but keep it clean. Okay, there's some sites I do not want to be associated with. You know what I'm saying. But thank you guys so much for listening. Especially if you're still here into this little ramble at the end. Maybe I should have little Easter eggs at the end just to show who's really sticking around to the end. I know I do it, so I won't be offended if you don't. Like, as soon as I hear most of my favorite podcasts pushing their socials, I'll just, like, click onto the next one. It's normally the same old rigmarole. But yeah, let's do a little Easter egg. So if you're still here right to the bitter end of this episode, then maybe you should leave me a comment on any of the socials that just says, what can it say? I really didn't think about this. I've just thrown this out up in the air. I'm looking around my room. Just say, send me a comment just saying houseplant. Because my houseplants are being such divas at the moment. There's one of them that's just contorted itself for absolutely no reason and decided to go brown. And I've just been watering it like normal. So I don't know what's going on. So send me a comment saying houseplant and I'll know that you are here right till the end. But whether you listen to 5 minutes or every single episode, I'm so grateful to have you guys and to have your support and the lovely messages and all of that stuff. Yeah, thank you so much and have a really wonderful week. I'll be back next week every Wednesday as usual, and I'll speak to you then.
The Podcast and the Pendulum is not affiliated with Nightwish, Nuclear Blast or any associated record labels. This is a fan-run podcast and we upload episodes every Wednesday. Please like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.